If you oppose the truth, you're taken captive by the devil. And he could do what he wants to. If he says, oh, Joseph's been a bad boy now. He's not doing he's not obeying God. So the devil says, oh, I'm just going to come by and I'm going to get him. Well, I ain't going to get him today. I'm going to give him another week. And then next week I'll sock him. Is that what that says?
Yeah, he's done it 72
times. That's exactly what that says. I mean, he's going to get you when he can. I mean, or when he wants to. He can anytime he wants to. Now, how would you like to go through your life in opposition to God's word? Maybe you just got a couple little things you disagree with some pastor or whatever, and you say, well, I don't believe that. So you oppose the truth. You don't have to have the blood in everything. Yeah, so I'm not going to believe that. So, okay, so if you don't believe that, then that's contrary to what God's word says, isn't it? Without the blood, is there any salvation? None. Zero. You're right, young lady. Without the blood, it's over. Without the cross, there's nothing. If he didn't die on that cross, if he was not born a virgin, you know, then just like Paul said, you're still in your sins. You know, and you're worse off than an unbeliever. But when I got a hold of this, this really scared me. When I looked at this, I thought, Lord, they should gently teach those who oppose the truth. In other words, stay with it. Don't ever give up on them. I mean, I know some of you got children or in-laws or whatever that's not walking with God. Don't ever give up on them. Pray for them diligently, because where they are, you know, the enemy, he has legal right to them, and he can do what he wants to anytime, just like it says. It said, but if you gently teach them, show them from the word, get the word out, read it to them, make sure you've got it down yourself, and then get the word out and say, but you know, this is what it says. I think about when I used to build buildings for a corporation. You know, I didn't go out there and they would say, well, we want you, they didn't call me and say, Thurman, we want you to build us a 40,000 square foot building in Detroit. Or they might say that. But when they said, call me and said, we need you to build a 40,000 square foot building in Detroit, my first question was, when am I going to get the specs and the plans, you know, and all the information? Well, we got it on the way. Okay, good. So when I get that spec book, which will be that thick, I mean, it's like reading a Bible. Everything that I have to know about building that building is in that book. Everything they want, every kind of hardware, everything. Foundations, footings, electrical, refrigeration, air conditioning, everything's in that book. And on the drawings, everything matches what's in the book. And the set of drawings will usually be 20 or 30 or 40, maybe 50 big, giant pages this big. And all the details are all throughout those pages. So if the plumbing guy comes in and says, well, where would you like the floor drains? How about one over here and one over there and one over there? I said, no, that's not the way we do it. Here's the drawings right here. And they're all marked on here, and they show you exactly what size, which way they're supposed to flow and where they're supposed to hook up and everything. Now then, can you imagine somebody coming in and say, just build me a house? Can you imagine what you would get? It's crazy, isn't it? You know, you go over all the plans and specs and details and make sure it's what you want before you ever put the first nail in the ground, right? You want to make sure you know what you've got. And then you want to make sure you know what it's going to cost to build this house. And that's when you get bids and everything. So I just stand in awe. This, we don't do the Word of God like this. I mean, on a job, we may study these and get the plans and specs and everything up there and go over them in great detail so we can build the building like they want. But the building is going to fall down someday anyway. But your life is going to be eternal. And we go through life and never prepare by reading the owner's manual or the spec book for our life. So you don't know what it says. It's just like Dave said, it was quite interesting. One of the scriptures that we used, there was a lady came up. She said, well, I'm having trouble with my right eye. It's blurry. Cheryl immediately asked her. She said, are you grieving about a man? Since it was her right eye. She said, well, yes, but what makes you ask that question? Cheryl said, because of what the scripture says. She said, what does it say? She said, I never seen anything about eyes in grieving. Go to Psalm 6:7 and let's see what that says. We'll come back here to this one. Look, my vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies. Your eyes grow dim because of grief, the King James says. Now, if the Word of God says that, why, even though your son, and this was the case with her son had killed himself a few years ago, and she's still grieving for that boy. Turn him loose. What good's it going to do to continue to grieve over a dead man? Can you bring him back? No. Is he gone? Yeah, it's over. You know, you can't change it. That's just like King David. You know, he was grieved diligently for a week, Lord, and prayed and fasted, you know, for my son, Lord, heal him. And at the end of the week, God went ahead and killed the kid anyway. And they said, you know, the boy is gone. He said, oh, okay. So he got up and went and washed his face and said, let's go eat. They said, what is wrong with you? He said, well, you know, while he was still alive, I could pray and fast and plead with God. And maybe, perhaps, God would heal my baby. But now that he's dead, there ain't nothing I can do. Might as well just forget it. You know, let's go wash my face and let's go have something to eat. Is that the way to do it? Yeah, don't continue to grieve over the little guy. If your son shot himself or killed himself, don't grieve over him for years, because what it's going to do, it's going to make your, especially your right eye, grow dim. Now, you want your right eye to grow dim and be blurry? I don't think so. I don't. But you know, she'd never heard that in her life. In fact, let me ask y'all a question. How many of y'all ever read that verse and it ever got any kind of revelation on? Anybody? Nobody. Not a single one in this whole church. And I teach this book from cover to cover, upside down and backwards, and nobody's ever even remembered that verse. Not one of us. Y'all see what I mean? So isn't it amazing what's in here, Scott? You need to read it. I mean, read it, right? Hallelujah, huh? Now let's go back to Timothy where we were there. 2 Timothy 2, those last two verses. Now, if we gently teach those who oppose the truth, and who knows how long it's going to take, but you gently teach them, the people that do the opposition to the Word of God, perhaps God will change those people's heart. Now, I heard another preacher say this morning, I was listening to a man preach this morning. I like to listen to him. He's a good faith preacher. But he said, you know, we have a free will. I thought I used to believe that. For many years I used to believe that. But I said, now then, I don't believe that because of what Proverbs says. And here's another one. Here's another one that if you teach these people gently, those who oppose the truth, perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will believe the truth. So who is it moved on their heart to change their heart? So instead of having a free will to continue to live in opposition, who was it that moved on their heart to change them to get them on the right path? God did. God is the one that did that. There it's written right there. Then he says, then they will come to their senses. In other words, after God moves on their heart and says, look, you need to straighten your act up. He begins to put that thought in there, and then he begins to send people by. You know, who knows? It might send you out to my church, and you'll hear me teach something that might drive you off the edge. You think, ooh, this guy's crazy. And then you get out of here, and you find out, well, he wasn't crazy after all. Hey, praise the Lord. But then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. Just think, the minute you receive what really belongs to you, the devil has to leave you. You know, we had a woman up there that come to the dinner, second day. Yeah, second day. We had that luncheon. And her husband sat right beside me and Cheryl at the dinner. And she had written me a letter. I'd already read it. And I mean, she was totally convinced that all of her problems, she was full of demons, you know, and everything. And boy, let me tell you, this poor woman had every door in the world open because of her tongue. And she constantly say, well, I got all these demons in my body. I got these demons. These demons is what causes my problem. I told her, I said, ma'am, until you learn to talk, you're going to have demons. I said, you're going to have to get rid of You're going to have to learn who you really are. You're a daughter of the King. You know, I said, you know, and when you repent of all this negative stuff you've talked about and all this sickness and everything else, when you repent of all that and tell God you're sorry for all that and start claiming the promises of God, then you're going to get well. I said, but I guarantee you can't go through life saying, I got this, I got that, I got that. And you got a list that you're constantly saying, I have this wrong with me. You ain't never going to get well. God ain't going to honor that. But it says, then they will come to their senses after you've done some teaching and escape from the devil's trap. Because they've been in the devil's trap. Because it says there, for they have been held captive by the devil to do whatever he wants. How would you like to be held captive by the devil? So he says, well, today I believe that I have legal right to Thurman, so I think I'll just go by and knock him out today. Would that be awful? But it's happening to people in the church all the time. And it's happening, it's going to happen in the next, I don't know if we live another year. You know, the way things are going. But if we do make it another year, you know, I mean, this is going to be the most interesting year you have ever seen. You know, because, in fact, I'll tell you what we're going to do here. I'm going to tell you this, and then we're going to quit. I am so convinced that Rosh Hashanah, of course, it comes once a year, and it comes in September, October. And it is the fifth feast of the Lord. And if you've never done a study of the seven feasts of the Lord, it would be very interesting for you to do a dedicated study of the seven feasts of the Lord. Now then, the first four, Jesus has fulfilled perfectly to the second. And the next one is to be Rosh Hashanah. And it always happens in the fall, September, October. It's within a two-day period. It goes by the moon cycle. And they don't know what time the moon's going to come up in Israel. So that's why they say that the day that no man knows the hour. So they're watching and they wait for it to come up. And when it comes up, well, then they say, hey, it's up. I believe that the King will return for the church on Rosh Hashanah.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, God's Instrument of Gold, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.